This is episode 26, All Amped Up and Nowhere to Go.
The fucking best.
Girl Gaming and Anime Podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Go.
And this is episode 26 of our podcast. Hey, woohoo!
Woot!
We're past 25. Ha ha! We're here to stay.
Wow.
Yeah,
did we name it?
No. Because I decided...
That's okay, though. Because yeah. This is the podcast before we... The number of Ninja Sister's age.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
You just had to get into.
Yes.
You're just all about telling my age.
Yep.
No, Magic.
We've discussed age on the radio show, so our listeners know what our ages are.
Yeah, we said.
Except yours, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know how old you are.
Apparently neither does Ninja, actually, because About Us. What page? She said recently sometime that everyone is over 21, and I'm not.
See, I thought that everyone was over 21, but I learned that we weren't.
I roll with younger people.
See, I very rarely roll with younger
and
people.
I roll with older people. I mean, my D&D group's like all men over 30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very few of my friends are actually younger than I do because I find I don't have patience for their bullshit.
So she doesn't. Anyway...
I should be careful.
That's another podcast.
But let's talk about this one. No, I've decided to stop naming the podcast beforehand because we talk about so many other little things that come up that I might want to actually just use one of those little things that we talk about as the name of the podcast. So I think from now on,
we're going to make the name up later.
Yep.
Awesome.
And then that way what I'll do is just put a little leader in and be like, this is episode 26.
Well, then at least it's good because our first 25, that bracket of our first 25 all have titles.
Right.
And now the next set won't. I like that idea.
Be the first step into, growing pains. So
yeah.
This one's kicking it off. So we'll figure out what the name is later on.
Chill.
But that said, got to do a little bit of business.
Let's do the business.
Because you can't
hit it like you mean it.
Business.
Oh, that's a good one.
Stay out of my business. Alright, so anyway, I like Ludacris so much.
Anyway, that's another podcast. Let's get to the business.
I'm sorry. It's in the evening. I'm ready to, party get down. Anyway, you gotta keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can type in, now, in your browser, esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi, and basically be taken to the same place. It's a shorter URL, but it gets you to the same long shit.
Yay!
Yay for long shit. Also, you can visit our Freshwear store and pick up some cool gear. We got t-shirts. We got hoodies. The only thing that we don't have is shoes.
Or us.
Pictures. Yeah, you can't buy us.
Yeah, you can't buy us.
Prostitution is illegal in the states that we live in.
Yep.
So, there's the downside to that. But you can buy... T-shirts, hoodies, hats, and other gear with the likenesses of our avatar. So it's like buying a piece of us.
But not. Because I want to keep all of me.
You could try bidding on me on eBay, but, it's
don't even say that shit, because right now there's like five guys that are going, shit, is Pandalicious actually on eBay? Because they would do that shit.
Good point.
So you need to take that back. We are not selling anybody on eBay.
That's a good idea. Well, that would make some good money, but anyway.
Hey, that is not a way to pay for college. We do not condone or endorse it.
Sorry. All right. I'm not on eBay. Don't look for me.
Don't look for Bandalicious on eBay. She's not there.
Hi, Amazon. Anyway.
Stop. They're going to get letters. I was told that Pandalicious was on Amazon. They're going to get an email like, who the hell is Pandalicious?
And like, who bought her already?
Like, and who would be on Amazon anyway? We don't sell people. Slavery is wrong.
Anyway. So you can't find any of us on eBay.
That's
but
right.
There is toast with our likeness on it.
If you burn
that'd
a piece
be
of
awesome.
Toast, that would be an awesome toaster. Be like, look, I see Pandalicious in my toast. She is my savior. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, let's see if we can sell it more than that pancake that had Jesus on it.
What?
Oh my god.
That was a dope looking Jesus right there in the pancake, I gotta say.
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, I've seen it too. It's kinda, you know, I could see why they would think that that sort of looked like Jesus. I saw Lamb Chop in a piece of toast once, you know, the little puppet.
Lamb Chop.
From Lamb Chop's Playalong.
Lamb Chop's Playalong.
Oh my god, guys, stop. All right. That's a technical foul.
Awesome.
Right there.
Let's have a moment of silence for Sherry Lewis. Thank you very much.
That was hard.
Back to the business. Come to the Freshman store, click on some stuff. We added some new designs. I'm pretty proud of them. I think they look pretty bomb. Check them out. You like them, buy them, wear them. Pimp us to your friends. Let them know, hey, these girls are all right. You need to check this shit out.
We're more than all right. We're damn fine.
That too. But, you know, you got to work people in because some people can't understand and appreciate the awesomeness that is ESH.
Very true.
So you got to work them into it slowly.
Okay.
You know, it's like Tenacious D.
Yeah.
You don't just drop the Tenacious D on somebody. You got to work them in a little bit. You got to introduce them to KG. Then you introduce them to Jack. Then, you know, you drop some tribute on them and be like, okay, behold the awesomeness that is the D. But I'm being distracted.
Okay.
We got to keep it.
We got at least one person who's going to go see the movie almost immediately, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm going too.
Oh, yes.
I'll probably go eventually. Or maybe rent it when it comes out.
Oh,
something.
My God, no. You have to see the D on the big screen. All right.
Who's the candy bitch this week?
The candy bitch this week is... drumroll, please. Timbo Steve! You got candy, bitch!
You've got candy, bitch.
We should make a song. Be like, you've got candy, bitch.
Oh my god, that's really a good idea.
Does it have to make us sound like lounge singers?
Why not?
I'm the lounge lizard. That's awesome.
We should change it up though sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes we should put a little like rap in it. Or then we could go a little country.
I'll tell you what, you can do the freestyle flowing on it. Okay,
all right.
I'll do the country one because you'd be like, you got candy, bitch. You know, that'll work.
That's cool. Fun. I'll work on that. Get some fresh beats out there. Yeah. Panda beats, bitches. Anyway. Sorry.
Just send it to me in a GarageBand project. And we'll
work. I totally will do it, too.
I know you will. I'm looking forward to it, scarily enough. In any case, Timbo Steve, all you gotta do is go to the website, click on the Hit Us Up link, and send me your mailing address.
And she will give you candy.
And get candy from us in the mail. The
candy,
custom
candy.
ESH candy for candy bitches only.
Candy, candy, candy.
Candy. So, candy. That's the candy bitch. I guess we have a wow bitch.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm ready.
I'm listening.
So, everyone, if you guys came to the site during the week when I posted, I was doing a semi-mini contest just so that
Stop. It's not a contest because this is not a contest. We don't do contests.
Don't you actually have to, like, compete or something for a contest?
For a contest, you have to compete. There's all kinds of paperwork that has to be filled out, and there's all kinds of, you know, things that you have to be able to present to people to show how you pick winners and all that kind of crap that we don't want to have to deal with that bullshit. So it's not a contest. It's not even close to being a contest.
It's a panda giveaway. We're giving away panda.
Yes. All right. Wait, it's no, a panda giveaway. Anyway, for all of those who came to the site and saw my posting, I was going to randomly select every so often somebody from the WoW community to come and meet me, or rather, I would go and meet you in your server.
I got it. It's a WoW-alicious sweepstakes.
It's a WoW, okay.
It's a WoW-alicious sweepstakes. See, WoW and Pandalicious.
With that in mind, where in the world is Pandalicious? And I've decided
Oh my god, I love that. That was awesome. Sorry, go ahead. Pandalicious.
You can find Pandalicious in...
Where am I going?
Wait, am I going to Kenya? Oh, because there's tigers in Kenya.
Yeah,
I'm going to Garona!
Oh, Panda going to Garona! I'm all excited.
This is wild!
Dude.
Spooky! And Amberjack, I am coming to meet you.
That's awesome.
So...
Dude, I don't even play World of Warcraft, and I'm excited for you.
And I'm coming to Garona. About.
She's like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go to Garona. I'm like, that's lovely. Is it in Italy?
And I'm in the process of making characters on both sides of Garona because it is a North server.
All right.
So on the day that you guys want to meet me, you mail me and let me know. And I will be there and we will hang out. And we will rock out in the world of WoW.
I thought you were going to say something completely different. So
like, we're going to rock out? We're going to rock out with our cocks out?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, well, I don't have a cock, so I couldn't do that.
Well, yeah. you could create male characters if you wanted.
Really.
I could, but I'm not. So, Amberjack, Tuki, and I'll see you in the world of Warcraft.
It's awesome. The end of World of Warcraft.
It's the end of the world of Warcraft. Pandalicious, what do you got for the people this week?
I am going gamer again.
Ooh.
Yes, because I've only watched a little bit of anime this week because college is college, and and I haven't had much time for much of anything. But today is my only free day, and I got paid.
Yeah,
so I woke.
What a weekend, baby.
So Panda woke up early this morning, like at 7.
Did you get yourself
waiting,
a gun? Woke up this morning. Sorry.
Waited until 8 o'clock for the local Walmart to open.
Uh-oh. You went to Wally's?
I went to Wally's. Went and got me Final Fantasy XII.
Nice.
I know I'd gone on a rant about how there's no or was very little minority going on in the game from the pictures that I had saw, but I must now shove my foot into my mouth.
Oh, you gonna eat a little crow?
I need to retract my statement because there are, in fact, colored people.
There are colored people.
In this game.
Okay. Now, define colored for the folks.
Colored, in a sense, are those other than white.
Okay.
You've got your, like, chocolate brown. You've got your, you know, Pacific Islanders kind of color.
Yep, yeah, kind of that light brown
got,
with a little yellow in there. Okay, yeah.
Yes. And then you've got other creatures that are, like, blue and, like, green. So they've got colors.
They got color.
I've been playing the game since about noon today.
Okay.
And for all those who have played WoW or any form of strategy-based game, you will pick up this game. You'll get to it like ducks in water.
Okay.
You'll take to it like ducks to water.
I gotcha. I'm following.
You know, and I was kind of hoping for, you know, because with these games that have been coming out, they've been hooking you in with a great song, get you all hooked up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they went really orchestral for the opening, mm-hmm. which isn't bad.
No.
It wasn't bad at all.
Done right, an orchestral opening will seal a game to me.
It will. It was nice, and, you know, and I didn't, you know, go straight into the game and start playing. I actually watched the whole, like, the little visual that they give you before you can even enter the game.
The attract.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching that. I think I'm gonna like this game. You know, because at first I was a little worried. You know, and when I go to start the game, it goes and it asks me, do I want this full screen or widescreen?
Wow, cool.
I'm just with the game. So I was like, holy fucking shit. Literally.
Holy fucking shit.
So, you know, being old school, I went full screen. Yeah.
I'm not even going to go with the joke that popped into my head. Please continue.
Yes, okay. So, you see a barrage of things hitting you all at once. They don't overly explain everything either, which is kind of, you know, they kind of show you this really hot prince. And he's getting married to this girl, the one who kind of looks like Yuna. Her name is Ash, actually, which is kind of funny because I was like, gotta catch them all. I was. You know, and you see them coming in, and they're getting married, and it's all nice and great. And then you see, you know, the, like, Knights of the Round Table talking about how these insurgents were invading the country of Dalamascar. Uh-oh. And they're like, oh, no, we got to send people out. And this captain guy's like, well, I'm going to go. And the young prince, all full of valor, is all like, and I will go, too. You know, and he kind of looks at his wife, and his wife's all like, don't leave. You know, and he's all like, but I have to. So, you know, he goes off, and they're fighting. And the prince gets stabbed, and he dies.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and the captain's got him on this beautiful, like, translucent, and, like, have you ever seen the inside of, like, a clam or a mussel? Like, that shiny, like, they make chocobos that color in this game.
Cool.
You've got the yellow ones, and then you've got these really funky ones that are, like, horse trained pedigree horses, sort of.
That's a little chicken.
But they're chocobos.
Thing, right?
The chocobo,
right?
Yes.
That's a little chicken thing.
They're not very little. They're big. You ride them.
I know. But I always think of them as a little chicken thing.
But they were all like cool, pearly, you know, translucent-y, color esque birds. Like, I thought they really jazzed the chocobos up. Like, chocobos are meant to be cute, but they're not really cute in the game. When you have to go and train them, they're assholes. But anyway, I digress.
Okay. Go ahead.
So anyway, so you see this beautiful love scene, you see this battle, you see this death, and you see this king, Princess Ash's father, he's surrendering to this invading, you know, country.
Okay.
And then it jumps you into the game, and you play this guy named Rex. You know, and the captain guy is like, hey, you only got a couple of, you know, scratches on you. I kind of need your help. We need to make it to the king before he signs that treaty, because as soon as he does, these insurgents are going to kill him. So they're trying to teach you, you know, it's your basic learn how to stage.
Your tutorial stage.
So you're walking through that, you know, and it's like, okay. It's like you're in a group of like maybe four or five, depending on, you know, who you encounter at the particular time in the game.
Okay.
You know, and when you lock onto a target, this little blue line flies from you to whatever you're targeting.
Okay.
If what you're trying to target targets you first, a red one comes searing at you first. So, you know, it kind of looks like you're having a party all the time because you see all these monsters and you see all these lights.
It's
like
laser light Final Fantasy.
literally. So, you know, you already kind of know, like, if something's coming after you because you see a red light, like, zero in on you. You know, and you're all kind of fighting, and, you know, usually in turn-based games, you have to tell your character, you know, hit right now. And now I want you to hit it again right now. Now I want you to heal yourself. This game...
Yeah, that's the shit that I hate.
Kind of in a sense, this is like a lazy boys game in a sense, because there is an option in this game where, you know, generally, if you tell your character to just continuously attack, you don't have to keep hitting the button. Once you've done it once... The gauge bar that will allow him to go and hit keeps going until whatever you're killing dies or, you know, you die.
Oh.
But also, to switch it up a little bit, they have these things called gambits where, you know, you can pretty much, like, have a to-do list of what every character should do, and you can tweak it out. Like, where I'm at right now in the game, I have four people in my group. You know, I've got my Vera, who's the really hot bunny people.
Right.
They're really hot, guys.
Hot
no
bunnies.
Lie. Hot bunnies. You know, she at first, you know, if you drop below 70%, she'll cast a heal on you. And if everybody's okay, she melees. So in a sense, you know, you're developing a part you would in WoW. So for all those who have played WoW, who are good at it, I should say, this game... You'll take to it. It's that good. Now, sadly, you know, I'm new to the whole WoW world, you know, so I'm still kind of getting my feet about when I should heal.
I'm sorry. What level is your character again?
old? Is that what you just said?
My druid is 60.
Yeah. She actually had the nerve to say, I'm new to Warcraft.
I am.
Yeah.
Still. There's still a lot of things I don't know. But anyway.
There's a lot of things I don't know about the world, but I ain't new to it.
Anyway, I'm still wet behind the ears is what I'm trying to say.
I'm just trying to get at you for giving away my age again. Don't pay me any attention.
So, yes. You know, so I'm wet behind the ears. So, you know, I'm still trying to learn that interaction.
Okay.
And this game is totally like that. So I think by playing this game, I'll become better at WoW. And I've decided to devote myself to this game. So I haven't played WoW in 4 days.
Oh, my gosh. You're devoting yourself to another game.
WoW.
I don't plan to go back into WoW until I beat Final Fantasy 12.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, I don't think that's
a lie. If I go on to WoW, it's not going to be to play. It will be go to check on my guildies, anything, but I will not be engaging.
Bullshit.
Any runs of any kind.
I'm sorry. Can I say that loud? Let me try that one more time. Bullshit. But anyway, it's a nice
anyway.
Time. You can't stay away from it because you already said that you're going to go and visit people in Garona. So what happens?
Well, yes, but I'm not going to be playing with my... That's what I'm saying.
All right.
I'm going to go and hang out... That's a sweepstakes. That has nothing to do with my personal gameplay.
All right.
So getting back to the story at hand, really,
right.
You know, this Rex guy, you know, you go through the whole tutorial thing, and you get to the king. The king has been kind of, you know, it's kind of dead. And you get to the room.
Sort of dead?
Well, your character gets to the room last, because, you know, it's kind of horrible, because I didn't understand the concept of not having to retell my character to kill things.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I was all like, I'm like, oh, I'm in a group of four, this is fine, because they actually do damage to whatever, you know, mobs are around. No, and at this one point, you know, you tell the captain, well, you need to go on ahead and go save the king. I'll take these four guys by myself. So I'm like, fucking shit. You know, and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, and they don't play. So, you know, I made it through because, you know, I'm the bomb like that. And you get to the room and the king's dead on his throne and the captain is standing there. You run up to the captain like, oh, my God, who did this? And you pause and your controller shakes because the captain stabs you.
Oh, God.
Aww, bullshit.
So the captain double crosses the king, double crosses you. And then who the person the captain is working for double crosses him and sends him to prison. So your character is coughing, like, and it starts fading out, and every time he coughs, your controller shakes until it finally stops.
So you begin the game by dying?
Yes. But, you know, and when you learn more about Rex, you find out that, you know, he's 19, and he's like, no, I'm sorry, he's 17, and he's got a 15-year-old brother, and he's like, I joined the army so I could support him and I. I'm like, he's all I have left. So when you die as Rex, it starts off 2 years later. Now this boy, who was 15, is now 17. His name's Vaughn. Yeah. You know, he's been living, you know, as an orphan on the streets. You know, because... Yeah. It's pretty kind of sad. And, you know, I actually kind of unlocked to a point because you think that Rex dies right where you are when you see him kind of die.
Right.
They save him, but he's so traumatized by the betrayal that he's catatonic.
Oh, God.
Gosh, that's
and
awful.
Then he dies.
Oh, that sucks.
And then he dies, and Van is 17 at the time.
Dude,
so he's all like,
sucks.
So he's on this vendetta to get to this captain who stabbed his brother.
Is he still in prison at that point?
Well, see, the thing is, you kind of... You know, these guys who double-crossed the captain killed him, but they threw him in prison. And I'm actually in the scene now where we've released the captain, and Van wants to kick his ass. He's like, you killed my brother! It's your fault that this is happening to everybody! And I mean, and you're kind of with this really...
Wait. This is happening to everybody. What is happening to everybody?
What is? Oh, there's turmoil. Because the invading country has taken over the main capital. I can't pronounce this name to save my life because...
It's a fantasy game.
They're hard. But it was the sister city to Dalamascar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so okay. So the insurgents are now putting all their political people in power. They're oppressing the poor.
No.
They're bleeding out the rich of their money.
Of course.
You God. Know. Yeah. So, you know, and the poor people, you know, they're just like, you know, this really sucks. And this one
aristocracy.
And then really, you know, really hot. And in real life, he'd most likely be gay. You know, Vassal comes and he's all like, I know you guys don't like us. And I know we've kicked your ass. But that wasn't me. I want to love you and embrace you like your king did. So let me. And everyone was all like, yay. Except for Van. He's all like, fuck that. He's like, I'm going to get into his palace and I'm going to steal his shit. And you do. As his character, you actually sneak into the palace to steal shit. And that's when you meet the Sky Pirate. And he's hot.
Oh, my God.
And he's with the bunny girl. They're partners. I think there's more going on, but I haven't gotten that far in the game yet to know.
The Hot Pirate is with the Hot Bunny chick?
I think they have bunny
pirate children.
Maybe.
Would you call that a pirate? Or a punny?
A punny. A pirie. Pirie. Anyway. But they work together.
Okay.
I mean, you get a kind of, there's like this unspoken attraction, but you know, I haven't gotten that far, so I can't really say for sure.
Right.
Once I do know, you know I'm going to talk about it, because right. We know how much I like romantic comedy and romantic situations anyway.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How would you compare this Final Fantasy, just from what you've experienced now, to, let's say, the last Final Fantasy game that you played? Like,
well, that was Final Fantasy.
Is that a lot of difference? Is the story arced a little bit better for your liking? Do you like the new combat system?
All right. Well, because I've played some WoW, I feel I'm more adjusted to the combat style in this game.
Okay.
The last Final Fantasy game that I played was Final Fantasy X-2, which sucked crappy balls.
Actually,
so I'm
gonna be more specific, it sucked lumpy titties.
Yeah, it did. Yes, it was. So, I mean, if I go back to Final Fantasy X, which I absolutely loved,
okay.
I would have to say that I really kind of like this style a lot better.
Okay.
The storyline is, you know, great. Like, I was drawn into the story of Final Fantasy X at the end of the series, at the end of the game.
Right.
You know, that's when you found out that, you know, Tidus wasn't real.
Don't
do it. Totally digging on you. Oh. Oops.
That's okay.
Spoiler alert. Anyway.
I can go back and edit that part out if you start again from saying
it. But you can't edit it out of my memory.
I know.
I can't.
Anyway.
Enough tequila. You'll forget
anyway.
A lot of stuff.
Anyway, the twist in Final Fantasy X comes at the end. So, I mean, you're kind of going through the game going, okay, I get that. Holy shit. But in this game, it kind of throws you into the, holy shit, this. Both of them are very, they're very good ways to start off a story, but I was drawn in faster to the opening of Final Fantasy XII than I was to Final Fantasy X.
Okay, fair enough. What about the visuals?
The visuals. At first, because I put it on the TV I have in my bedroom, which isn't the best quality of TV. Mm-hmm. But at first I thought that the texture was a little grainy.
Okay.
But then again, it was 8 o'clock in the morning, the sun was coming in, so I wasn't getting, you know, I had to close my windows and kind of, you know, isolate myself in these four walls.
Uh-huh.
And then when it started going to, like, the rendered shots and the CG.
Right.
It's really beautiful.
Okay.
Like, they really stepped it up a notch from Final Fantasy X, which was very beautiful in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But this has a more, I'm trying to think of how I want to say it. Like Final Fantasy X was all like, yeah, we can do CG, and we're going to have all these explosions, and we're going to have all this music to distract you.
Mm-hmm.
And this game said, we've got a nice lully music so that you can enjoy the visual better.
So basically what you're saying is that in the previous CGI and pre-rendered stuff, it was all about, yeah, we have the ability to do it, and now it seems like they've learned how to apply it to really...
How to apply it effectively.
Okay. All
to
right.
capture the player's eye.
Uh-huh.
a much better job with this game.
All right. So, as far as you've played along with it, what would be your recommendation on it? How would you rate it?
Well, because I don't know the whole story yet, because I haven't played it all the way through, I would have to say I would probably give it a 4 right now.
Okay.
Because I haven't gone to any niches where I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I haven't gotten to any parts that I've, you know, died at. I have yet to die.
That's cool.
So the gameplay, once you get used to it, is fairly simple once you've gotten the swing of it.
Right.
The graphics are beautiful. The choice of music selection has been on point with the moods. It hasn't been overly dramatic, and it hasn't been overly sappy.
Okay.
It's been very consistent,
mm-hmm.
and I like that. So I'd have to say a 4 right now. By the end of this, depending on how the story plays out, I could easily come out and say that this is a 5.
Okay.
I could definitely see this becoming one of those games that will be one of the games that I fall back on when I'm broke and I can't buy any other ones.
Gotcha.
And play it again and again.
And again and again and again.
Yeah.
So with that said,
yes.
if you haven't, you know, played this game and there's a Blockbuster nearby or any of the online, you know, will mail you
game
things.
Woohoo! I'd say
put it.
There's one other company that does subscription mailing of stuff, but Gamefly has a better library.
So I'd say if you don't own it yet.
Right.
Because a lot of people own it already.
Uh-huh.
And you don't do games like go to Blockbuster and rent it. Even if you don't have the money to go and rent it, go pick up the guide. Because they've got beautiful pictures in this guide, so you can see the visuals right there. They give you the whole backstory in the first few pages. You can even, with the guide, play male or female. Because a couple of these people... You know, they don't tell you straight away, or if you don't look at it, you can guess. Literally, like, we were joking about this, a group of my friends, because someone brought the guide in, they were like, don't look at the ages of the genders, tell me what you think they are. So, you know, and I'm ratting them off. I only got one wrong, because I totally thought this one person was a dude and it was a girl. She just didn't have any boobs.
Yeah.
But go check this game out. Wowers are probably already playing it, or they have it. And they're waiting to do more things in WoW before they play it.
Assuming they leave WoW enough to breathe and realize what's going on in the world.
If I can do it, you can do it.
If I can do it, you can do it too.
So go get this game. Go check it out.
Why you know somebody stay like me and be rich with big car? Sorry.
Anyway, go check out the game. It's pretty good thus far. Wowers everywhere will probably enjoy the fighting style. And with that,
telling the Wowers, jump off your servers. Venture out into a new world, a new land.
A Final Fantasy.
Yes.
Yes.
Leave the world of Warcraft and travel to the land of Final Fantasy.
And with that, I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths, yada, 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 to Magic Mystic Girl, what are you bringing to us today?
I'm going
to
talk about death.
Woo-hoo!
Yes! Woo! Yay, death! Fuck cake! Bring me death!
Bring on the death! Bring on the death!
Okay, so anyways,
right.
You know, despite all the doom and gloom, I'm actually talking about a perky goth girl death.
Perky?
Oh, wow.
Death.
Perky? Wait,
isn't she the sister of
Dream.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm talking about.
Let her talk about it, Ninja.
I'm confused. I'm like being confused.
I will explain it if you'll shut the fuck up and listen. Okay, anyway, so I'm talking about Death at Death's Door by Jill Thompson, which is a manga based on Neil Gaiman's The Sandman.
Okay.
Oh, Sandman's hot. Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm listening.
All right, so there are these. I'm gonna fuck this up. Anthropomorphic personifications.
Okay. You did that.
Try and
right.
Swallow that one. Yeah. So you got, let's see if I can list them all properly. You got Dream, Destruction, Desire, Despair, Destiny, Delirium, and Death.
Right. Okay.
I don't know why they're called the Endless, which begins with an E and they all have D names. But, you know, I don't know. So, you know, basically Death is this perky goth girl. Okay. She's not a Grim Reaper. She's not a Black Parade. Okay. Excuse me. My Chemical
Romance. I love that song, by the way.
Oh my God, that was a good song. I had a My Chemical Romance day when I first saw that song. I listened to that song over and over, bought the CD, watched the videos, didn't do anything but My Chemical Romance.
Talk about, you know, doing stuff with our avatars. Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
A very My Chemical Romance day.
Yes, I was. I was very much. And I enjoyed it. It was fun. So, anyways. All right. The Sandman is about dream, not about death. Hence the title, The Sandman.
Okay.
And dream is one of these anthropomorphic personifications, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so Death and the Endless are characters from The Sandman by Neil Gaiman, which was 11 graphic novels created over the late 80s and the 90s.
Okay.
The 1990s, you know, in case people think it's
the 1890s.
Maybe centuries ago, because graphic novels existed for that long. Right. Anyways.
You got it. I'm with you. I'm following. Pandalicious might be playing games,
not.
But you have my attention.
I am paying
well,
attention.
I'm glad you're following, because my brain is not letting me understand it.
I'm paying attention. Ninja is being a douche.
She's not.
She's a douche. All right, go ahead.
All right, so news. The Sandman is about Dream, who's the anthropomorphic personification of, you know, dreams. He's Morpheus. He's the Sandman. You know, all those names people have for the god of dreams.
Okay.
And basically, you know, he eats things, buffets that people dream up, and he wears clothing that people dream up, and he walks freely between people's dreams.
Okay.
And he's got an older sister, Death. Death is actually the oldest sister of the Endless.
Okay.
I know Destiny is older than she is, but I don't know other than that. But, so Death is, you know, people are terrified of death, you know, well, because that's the way it really is. People don't want to die. But she's really a nice person, which is kind of strange, but cool at the same time. I love her. Personally, she was my favorite character from the Sandman book, so I'm very, very glad that she got her own book.
Okay.
So in the, I want to say, third, maybe not, no, the fourth Sandman graphic novel called Seasons of Mists, Dream goes to hell to rescue a... No, nobody goes to hell for vacation.
they may be
super powerful... anthropomorphic personifications. I really don't know what else to call them, people. But, nobody goes to hell for vacation. It's not a nice place. So anyways, Dream, hundreds of thousands of years ago, had this girlfriend who broke up with him.
Okay.
And he was mad, because nobody breaks up with Dream. So he sent her to hell.
Ouch.
So, during a family meeting... Death goes, you know, what the hell? You were totally wrong. She didn't want to be your girlfriend, so you send her to hell? Hello? Do you not realize that there's something really wrong with that? So he goes
unfair,
to hell.
I have to say, that's a little unfair.
What she said, or what, or him sending her to hell?
You know, being sent to hell because you don't want to date a guy.
Yeah, that's yeah.
I don't want to go to hell for not dating guys.
Really?
You know, especially not your stalkers, huh?
Oh, no. I don't even want to go to hell for my stalkers. I would go on a date with them to keep me from going to hell.
Yes, so there you go. If you're stalking Pandalicious, the only way you can get a date out of her...
is to threaten to send her to hell. So anyways, so Dream's like... because he really looks up to Death. So he's like, oh, maybe I was wrong. So he goes to hell to rescue Nada, who's the girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
But he's expecting this big, big fight. You know, and he's expecting Satan to, you know, say, no, there's no way in hell I'll give her back, blah, blah, blah. But right. He gets there, and Satan's like, yeah, I'm kind of tired of fighting, and I'm tired of being king of hell. I'm going to give you the key to hell. So he kicks everybody out of hell and locks it and gives Dream the key. And that's, you know, all the dead people that Death had brought to hell are coming back.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
That's not good. No, definitely not. So that is where the Death at Death's Door book is. It's like a sub story.
Okay.
And it tells all of the events I just explained happened in Seasons of Mists, but only by Dream's point of view.
Okay.
So this is Death's point of view of the series of events.
Okay.
So it's really cool, actually. You get to see like a manga version of the happenings in Sandman.
Now, are all the volumes just the different central characters' take on this one event, or do they cover a bunch of...
No, it's the Sandman, the 11 volumes of Sandman are all about Dream.
Okay.
Death does show up at least once in every one of the volumes.
Okay.
But they're all self-contained stories about Dream.
Okay, that was my confusion, so I just wanted to...
Yeah, so she's like a sub character that shows up every once in a while in the Sandman books.
Gotcha.
But she's got her own book. She actually has two American graphic novels as well. Because as Death, one of her abilities is once every century, she will live as a mortal for a single day to better understand the life that she's kind of taking from these people.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there's a whole, there's two whole graphic novels on that kind of side of her as well.
Cool.
So basically she's just a really popular character that got her own spin-off.
Right. Gotcha.
So, and I'm very happy about that because I really like her.
I can tell.
Yes. She's cool. Perky goth girl is Death. You know, what could be cooler?
That already has me interested.
Yeah, so, me too.
All right, so the main characters in the manga are Death, Delirium, and Despair, which are the three girls.
All right.
Delirium, kind of the comedic relief because she's crazy. Yeah, you know, you'll see a panel and she'll have like this trap door open in her head and butterflies are flying out of it and weird things like that. She like runs around in like tutus and oven mitts and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
She's all about the crazy.
That is funny.
And then Despair is naked and fat and clammy and gross and despairing.
Yes.
Well,
although in this, it's funny because all the people from hell come back and they end up having a party at Death's house, and she's totally making googly eyes at Edward Allan Poe. Edward Allan.
Nice.
So they're all like Edgar. Having romance and stuff. Edgar. It's cute. Edgar, there we go. I was like, that doesn't sound right. So it's really funny. Like three or four times in this book, people are like, you know, where's Death? And blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm Death. Hello. And they like make fun of her. They're like, yeah, right. Death's a perky little goth girl. So it's like even the demons of hell and like all these dead people and stuff don't believe that someone is this like nice and cute and fun and everything can be Death. So the basic storyline is that while Dream, you know, is deciding what in the hell he's going to do with this key.
In hell.
Yeah, really. Basically, you know, everybody comes and shows up looking for this key. So there is a bit of his story in it, too.
Okay.
But it's mostly about Death. So the three sisters, they go out and they have to hunt down everyone who's died and bring them back and keep them occupied, basically, until Dream decides what to do.
Okay.
And it's really fun. So, in the end, Dream does make a decision, and everybody goes their ways and everything. So, it's cool.
Would you recommend it to somebody? I mean, I'm already interested in it just from how you described it, and I've never heard of anything like this. So, where would I be likely to find it if I was looking for it?
It is actually in the manga section. It's by Vertigo, which is not officially, I don't really think they do many manga. They're not like Tokyo Pop or anything.
Right.
So it's an American created manga. So depending on how you stand on your elitist, it has to be from Japan manga stance and all that. You may or may not consider it a manga, but I do.
Okay.
Because it's definitely in the big eyed, minimalist background, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, but you can find it in the manga section, usually.
Of your local...
Because they don't care. If it's the right shape, it'll be there. and you can find... You can actually... Sandman is one of the more famous graphic novels. I mean, it's not like Superman. You're not going to find it everywhere. But I have seen it at Borders and Barnes & Noble and things.
Okay.
So you can find it there, too. And Death at Death's Door totally stands on its own. You don't have to read the Sandman books to understand it. because it explains everything from beginning to end. And I would give this a 5 out of 5. I really love it. I read it over and over and over again.
It's just that enjoyable for you.
It is that enjoyable.
That's awesome.
It's cool. There's all sorts of really cool one-liners and goofy things and emotional things, and it's cool.
So it's got a good balance of everything. A little emotional
it does.
Stuff, a little kooky stuff, a little
it does.
Stuff,
I'd s- I would say it would probably appeal to girls more than guys.
Right.
Whereas the Sandman books pretty much appeal to everyone equally.
Okay.
But yeah, I think everyone would enjoy it.
Gotcha.
So.
That's awesome. It is
awesome.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Sharing is caring.
I care.
I care.
Oh,
care
God.
Care.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Care cousins call.
Wow. Oh, the care cousins were the care cousins were like the elephant things,
yes,
right?
They were all
the ones
different.
That weren't bears.
Like Lionheart.
Yeah, Lionheart. Braveheart. And then the little lamb that was like all about sharing. They're all the different animals.
Anyways, recently I've kind of been on a hiatus from reading anime and manga and things, and I went back to my roots. I went back to reading American-made graphic novels, okay. And I realized that I really wanted to tell everybody about them. So I'm using this, Death at Death's Door and Neil Gaiman's The Sandman, to bridge the gap there. So although there is a big difference, I wrote a post today. I'll have to post that this afternoon. Detailing the real differences between manga and comic books, and I just wanted to bring it up in the podcast so everyone will know that. Yes. From now on, I will also be writing posts on books that aren't technically manga.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
So, yeah. I will be starting with the Sandman series. So look for a post on the, because they're each self-contained, books, each of the graphic novels. I'll probably end up writing a different post for each one of them. So look for 11 posts on the Sandman series.
Yeah.
Over the next
it when I see it. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, over the next until I die, probably. So I am passing the mic of 1,000 truths to Ninja.
Alright, I got 5 minutes.
What are you gonna do with it?
If I was to tell you, I'd have to kill you because that information is classified.
And yet you're going to talk about it, and so I'll know anyways.
No, I'm
going to
actually talk using the device, but I can't actually tell you what it is that I'm actually doing with the device.
I don't think I want to know what you're doing with the device.
I don't think you really want to know. You don't ever want to see how the sausage is made, people.
Just eat the sausage and like it.
Exactly. But thank you for passing it. I appreciate that. I'm going to make this quick because, well, as quick as I actually can make it, because my caffeine is running out. But I thought, since, you know, we're getting ever, ever closer to, PS3 Day and Wii Day, which, I finally got a pre-order for a Wii.
Yay!
It's a nice bundle, too. Comes with, like, a bunch of games and an extra controller. And so I'm super duper happy. Super duper happy. Super duper broke, but super duper happy. Kathy is muy bueno.
Happy.
Yeah. Super duper happy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy.
Don't whiz on the
electric fence.
Alright. I love an instant beat. Moving on. So I thought, as we're looking forward to these new systems, what is it that I could talk about? Because, you know, I think that I've pretty much weighed in on my opinion on the PS3 and the Wii. As I already said, I already got a pre-order for a Wii, so that tells you what direction I'm steering in. I will most likely get a PS3 when there are actually boxes in a store where I can walk up and put a box in my hand and go, yes, please! ring it up! But, I wanted to talk a little bit about how I got to this point, how I got into gaming so much, and I thought that'd be such a huge topic to talk about. I had to pick one aspect, so I was sitting and trying to think of what to talk about, and I thought, you know, all of the focus really has been put on the motion sensor thing in both the Nintendo controller and in the PlayStation controller, and the lack of rumble here and there and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, well, what better way to really kind of do a little journey into gaming than to talk about all of the advances in the controllers?
You're talking gaming evolution through controllers.
Basically. I thought that'd be a great place to start. Because, you know, you can talk about what game came out that made you fall in love with gaming, or, you know, what console was the first one that you actually had in your house. But really, if you want to look at evolution, you got to look at the input device. You know, because we started off with, like, the Atari 2600 video computer system controller, which is basically the old school granddaddy. And that's joystick, red button in the palm of your hand. And at some point, you have played with the stick and the button in the palm of your hand. Okay, the base basically fit perfectly in your right or left hand. Great thing about just being a stick and a button is that it was ambidextrous. So if you're left-handed, you could put the base in your right hand, twist it, and then the red button would be right where your thumb needed to be, and you could joystick around. Or you can put it in the other hand, flip the button around, and it wasn't uncomfortable. Like, you would think it would be the most uncomfortable thing in the world, but it was actually one of the most, at least for me, because I have tiny hands. I'm short. I'm tiny. But for me, I never had any problems actually using the Atari 2600 joystick. And what was great about it was that you just had a stick and a button. No triggers. No flippers. No button A, button B. No buttons Y, X, and Z. No start button. One red button.
No X, O, square, and triangle?
No, none of that bullshit. No select button. No D-pad. Just stick in a button. It was great.
Yeah, well, you're saying that, but I bet if you went back and played it again, you would feel really limited in what you could do.
Actually, no. Before I moved... This is so bad. I'm still playing on the Atari 2600 that we have. Had the stick. Had the original trackball that was, like, the best trackball ever. I mean, like, the thing was, like, probably maybe 8 inches long from side to side. But that thing, like, you rolled it, and until you put your finger on it to stop it, it kept rolling. You know, it was perfect for Centipede. God, I missed that thing. So, no. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that would feel limited. Not me. Okay, there's no better way to play Ms. Pac-Man than with the stick and the button. But we're moving on in our evolutionary process. And the next controller that I remember is the Intellivision controller. Are you familiar with the Intellivision boxes? And basically, with the Intellivision controller, you had, like, this little device that you put in your hands, for anybody who's not familiar, and it had a number pad, and the number pad went from 1 to 0, and then it had two buttons on each side. And the Intellivision was made by Mattel, and it was originally not designed to play games, but then the Atari 2600 got real popular, and they were like, oh no, we're so getting in on that shit. So it kind of looks like almost like an old school TV remote controller, but it had this spinning disc that was on underneath the keypad with all the numbers, and so you could basically do 16 directions of movement. So, like, when you were running, you would actually have to, like, put your finger and, like, press down in the general direction that you wanted your person to go. Anybody who ever played the baseball game on the Intellivision remembers the disky thingy at the bottom. Because it was always the thing that you broke first on the controller. Because you'd be like push down and then like swing around. Like if you've ever used a click wheel on an iPod, it's like that, but it actually moved. So like when you push down on one side, the opposite side would flip up. Because it's basically on a spring. So eventually if you like push down hard enough, it would just pop.
I've done that to a few of the analog sticks on the PlayStation controller.
Really?
I've never
popped one of those off.
No, it's the pad on the top. You know how it's got the ball joint in the actual controller and the sticks with the pad on the top?
Uh-huh.
I would pop the pads off for some reason. They'd just come off.
I understand completely. And so the next thing you go to is actually the Nintendo Game & Watch, which was, like, made in 1982. And the really funny thing is, like, most people don't remember these things, but if you look at them, it's freaking the blueprint for the DS. Because basically what you did was you had this device that opened up just like the DS does, and it has two screens, one on the top and one on the bottom. The only, and the all the buttons and stuff were on the bottom half of the screen. And so, basically, it was used to play Donkey Kong.
Only Donkey Kong?
Yep, because it was a preloaded game. See, this was before we got into, like, you know, different games. This
oh, I had a bunch of those when I was a kid, the little, like, single game player things.
Uh-huh. But this one had a flip of screen so that you would do stuff on the bottom screen and actions would happen in the top screen, which is really funny. But it was the first one that actually used, if I'm correct, like, the D-pad in a mobile device. And then that gave birth to the actual controller that went with the Nintendo Entertainment System. And it was the first controller that you actually had to use two hands to hold. And so this is like around 85. Pandalicious was one.
I was negative. I was negative one.
You like that shit?
I was still younger than you.
Whatever. So, wait, not three. Do the math. Do the math right.
I didn't do the math at first. You did.
Okay, you were 85. At 85, you were one.
Yeah.
I was negative one.
Okay, so how old was I? Put your game on pause. Get a piece of paper and a pen.
How much older than Panda are you?
She's 5 years older than me.
Five and a half, bitch. Get it right. No, I'm just playing. Five and a half.
Okay, well, if you're going to go with the half, you're going to need to tell us when in 85 this was. Because then we're going to need to
That's
calculate in birthdays.
That's why I said five, to make it easier for me,
bitch. Let's just move on to the next controller, bitch.
You're the one that brought it up.
Whatever.
Bitch.
Bitch! Alright, anyway, so the next controller that we have is the controller that went with the Super Nintendo system, which basically was the controller that they did with the NES system, but it had a couple more buttons. See, this is when we started adding more buttons. Why?
More buttons! Okay,
more
no
buttons.
More buttons!
No, okay, no more buttons. Throw more buttons on it! That video was funny. But basically, what you had was with the NES controller, you had a D-pad, a start and a select button, and an A and a B button. And you held it in both hands. So your right hand would work the A and B buttons, your left hand would work the D-pad. And if you needed to do a select or a start, that's what your thumb was for on your right hand. It was actually really comfortable. Then with the Super Nintendo system, yeah, they decided they needed to add like two more buttons on there on the right side. I'm not exactly sure why. But then games started getting really complex because, oh, now instead of just a stick and a button, now there's no stick, but there's more buttons. So that means my games are getting more complex. So instead of just either having to shoot or dodge, now I'm shooting and I'm dodging and I'm jumping.
All at the same time.
What? At the same? No, no, no. And so that's, I think, when the carpal tunnel started getting bad for people. Because you'd be like, jump, motherfucker, jump, no, And then you have to start the level over again from the beginning. And I really do think that that's where the carpal tunnel came. I actually remember my SNES fondly. We had a tremendous amount of fun playing Super Mario on that thing. Oh, my goodness.
We had console wars in this family because she had the Super NES.
Then you got
the
Genesis.
I had
the
Sega.
Yeah. Then I got the PlayStation,
I had
N64.
I had friends with all that stuff. I didn't have anything until the PlayStation.
Then we both got Game Gears, but you got the blue one.
Yep, I got the blue one. Yes, I did.
Whatever.
Sounds like you guys are still having console wars.
I'm getting a Wii.
Yeah, well...
Yeah!
Muffins!
I win!
Ninja Panda's not going to be interested until you can play WoW on the Wii.
I know, I'm not even tripping about it. I can't tell her about Super Mario Galaxy and being able to jump from planet to planet. She don't want to hear about
that. I saw that anyway.
She's like, if it doesn't have the ability to put it up for an auction, I don't want to hear about it.
Very funny, you guys. Very funny.
Until you quit and, you know, remove WoW from your computer.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, we're gonna razz you. We're going to razz you about it until it does happen. So if that's not going to happen, we're not going to stop razzing you.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not. Like,
because the expansion, they released the expansion date, so I know when the expansion's coming.
All right, even if she freaking gets out of grad school, goes out into the workforce, gets married at 35, she's still going to be fucking playing WoW.
Hell yeah. Hell, motherfucking yeah.
I know my
And
sister.
If my man can't support that, then he needs to leave.
Love me, love my WoW. All right.
You're probably going to find him through WoW, so it's probably not going to be an issue.
Surprise. And then I'm going to have to be at the wedding, and there are going to be freaking people with, like, I've got tier 0 and tier 1 armor. How about you?
Tier 0? Crap. They be talking about tier 3. But anyway.
Let's fucking move on to the Genesis controller, which I always thought was really interesting because the Genesis controller, the D-pad actually had support for directions in between the four points of the existing D-pad. So you're used to up, down, left, and right, but these actually had, you know, if you're going to use a compass and go north, south, east, and west, these had northeast and southeast and southwest and northwest. So that kind of allowed you to have a wider range of movement with your characters. So that's when we started getting away from the side-scroller, and we started getting away from games that didn't let you have save points or being able to load from a save point. Because up until this point, you know, games were stored on a cartridge, and cartridges were linear. And so that's why when you died, you had to start the level over. It wasn't because they were trying to be a dick. It's just that they didn't have any way to store where you were on the level.
Yeah.
But what I thought was really interesting about the Genesis controller, and that's when I thought that I was really going to be able to get down and get funky with the gaming, was that the Genesis controller only had 3 buttons instead of the 4 from the SNES. So I was like, oh, great. We're getting back to, you know, like making it nice and sleek and, you know, just focused on the task at hand. Minimalist. Because I, for the long time, was a purist. And I thought, if I can't do it with a joystick and a button, fuck it. And so I actually browbeat Pandalicious into asking for the Genesis for Christmas because I think at the time she wanted some Barbie mansion thing.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Pretty much off up, but I like beat it into her head and I was like, no, ask mom for this because then we can play this game. You want to play this game, don't you?
It's got Wait, so why didn't you just ask your mom yourself?
Because I had gotten a system last. Yeah. My mom was really big into doing for one and doing for the other. So whenever we got a console, we had to alternate. So if I got a new console, then the next new console that came in was going to go to Pandalicious and she got to pick it. So I got the SNES last. So it was her turn to pick a console when it came out. And I was like, fuck, now I got to convince her to get the stupid Genesis. But we did. And then she absolutely loved it. I mean, she rocks that Sonic game. Like, I got to level...
All of them.
Yeah, all of them, really. But I got to, like, level 5, and then I was like, fuck it, I can't do this shit. This is a pain in the ass. She beat it in, like, a month. I was so pissed because she's much younger than I was at the time. And I'm like, and she'd be like, I got to zone 7-1. What zone are you in? I'm like,
Yeah, but that's okay because she took it out on me in Mortal Kombat and would beat my ass.
I beat your ass so bad in Mortal Kombat.
Because I was going to play second player and I had to go and learn the moves backwards.
But aren't you glad I did that now? So now you can do the moves on first player and second player?
Yeah, because now when I play with like my guy friends and they're like, yeah, I know, they hate me. We were playing Mortal Kombat and I was all like, finish him. And I was like, and they're like, dude, you suck. I'm like, nah, I'm like, my sister was a bitch. And now I am a killing machine when it comes to these games.
My sister was a bitch, and now it puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose. Alright. So anyway, then the next step after the Genesis, because basically Sega CD used the same controller as the Genesis, there wasn't any development there. The next big step really was the PlayStation controller. The original PlayStation controller, because it, you know, had 4 buttons like the SNES controller, but its D-pad was a little bit different. Now, instead of being, you know, all one piece above, basically you just had the little kind of, they're not even really triangles, it's like a square with a triangle attached to it kind of thing, at the tops and at the bottoms, and the left and the right. And so now you kind of got into not really controlling that in-between range.
Didn't the original PlayStation have the trigger buttons as well?
Yes, I was getting to that.
I don't think I can remember playing a single game that used them, but it had them.
Right. There were very few games, actually, that took advantage of the shoulder buttons, mostly because up until that time, most developers weren't used to developing games that really required the extra buttons. Like, the shoulder buttons really started to become a big deal with the PlayStation 2. I mean, as the PlayStation 1 was ending its end-of-life cycle, there were more games that were coming out that were taking advantage of the shoulder buttons, using them to do inventories and using them as blockers instead of using one of the designated shape buttons on the right side, and that kind of stuff that carried over into the PlayStation 2 and will obviously carry over into the PlayStation 3. But it was the first time that they actually, like, as far as I was concerned, actually separated the areas. Like, when you hold a PlayStation controller, it's very, very specific because of, like, little bat wing thing, that the right side is all about action as far as performing them, and the left side's really about movement. You know, when you compare it to the next controller that really came out, which was the N64 controller, the N64 controller is weird. Okay, if you've ever played an N64, it has a D-pad on the left, and then it's got six buttons on the right. Two that are really big, and then this, like, group of four that are small. But then it also had, like, this analog nipple on this third wing that came out of the middle. And, like, nobody knew how to hold this thing, because you're like, do I hold, like, the middle nipple and the left tip? Or do I hold the right one and the left one?
It depends on what game you're playing.
It really did, because there were, like, some games that you actually, like, use the little navigation thingy to actually move, but the D-pad to act as the action item.
Star Fox.
Oh, my God. I couldn't play Star Fox.
Me too. I could play that one-handed.
Fucking whatever. Show off. I can play it. I was just like, my hands hurt. And so I really didn't get into the N64. I really think the only game that I played on the N64 was Killer Instinct Gold, wasn't it?
I think so.
Because you got the
N64. Yep, I remember I remember Killer Instinct. You used to pawn my ass, that woman with the photon batons.
Orchid.
Like, fuck. Yeah. Yeah, I knew you'd remember her name. Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good times. But that was really the big advantage there. And then, did either of you have a Dreamcast system?
I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't have a Dreamcast myself, but a friend of mine has it. But the only game I ever played was Crazy Taxi.
Oh, Crazy Taxi was great on the Dreamcast. There were a lot of games that were really good on the Dreamcast.
Let's not talk about games. Let's get back to what you were talking about, Ninja.
All right, it is another podcast. We'll talk about the Dreamcast another day. But the controller was the largest controller that I'd ever held in my life.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was massive. And then the memory card thing was even larger. It was like...
Didn't the memory card go in the controller rather than in the console itself?
In the controller. And so it basically, like, I had a pager that I took out of its little carrying case, and it was the same size as the memory unit for the Dreamcast. I mean, it was huge. And then if you wanted rumble feature, you had to buy a rumble pack, and the rumble pack slid in behind the memory card. So it made the controller extremely heavy, especially if you were like me and had little monkey paw hands. It was tiny. But what was really interesting about the Dreamcast controller was that it was the first one that had basically an analog. No, the N64 had analog and the D-pad. This one had the analog and the D-pad on the same side as opposed to the analog in the middle, like the N64. So yeah. On the Dreamcast one, you had your little analog thing above your D-pad on the left side. And then you had your four buttons on the right. And it had triggers underneath. And it was really interesting because it had, like, this little view LCD screen for some of the virtual memory units. So there were some that you could get with, like, the little screen thingy, and so you could see stuff on them. Like, there were only, like, little dot matrix things. But it was just interesting to me. I always found it to be. Because it was the first time that I've really seen in all my time it could appreciate that things were changing with the controllers. You know, games were getting really more intensive, and you needed more input buttons to do more actions in games.
Yeah.
One of the games that I played a lot on the Dreamcast actually was Soul Calibur, which was the sequel to Soul Edge, which I thought was funny because Soul Edge was a PS title, a PlayStation title, but the sequel actually came out on the Dreamcast. So a little known fact for all the SC fans out there. And actually got its legs on the Dreamcast. The next controller was the Microsoft one, because, you know, Dreamcast failed. I don't want to say miserably, because I absolutely
it kicked the bucket. The only game I ever wanted to play on that was the one where you were a flying jester. I can't even remember what the name of...
I was just thinking about that. I said Crazy Taxi was the only one I played, but I was obsessed with Knights.
Everybody loved Knights. But the next controller really that came out was actually between the Xbox and the PlayStation controller. You had the DualShock controller that came out for the PS2, which was basically just a souped-up version of their original PlayStation controller. Except this one had the rumble feature and the dual analog sticks that we've all come to know and love and knock the little pads off of. and then we have the Xbox controller, which has the rumble feature. But it went back to kind of like the Sega controller, because originally the only controller that was out was this huge monster of a controller. Like, it literally gave me pains in my hands to play with the original Xbox controller, because it was too big, and it sucked, because the only other size that was out was the one for little kids, and I felt like such a douche, because when I actually got my Xbox, the first thing that I had to do was buy a little kid controller, you know, like the ones that they made for, like, five-year-olds to play SpongeBob with, because it was actually the only one that was comfortable in my hand. So I had this, like, translucent blue for boys, micro Xbox controller, and I had a friend that came over one time to play, and he was like, dude, seriously, is that your controller? It's like, shut up and just play. I want to hear it. They're like, oh, look at the little buttons. I'm like, shut up. I'm going to kick your ass.
Did you kick their ass
revenge? I spanked them just so bad. It felt so good. Oh my god. But the leap forward with, if you want to call it a leap, with the Xbox controller was that they split up their dual analog controls. So you had one that was kind of like the Dreamcast that was above the D-pad, and then you had one that was off to the right. And then we have six buttons. Okay, we have our X and Y and A and B that were gem colored, so they're yellow and green and blue and red. Then we have a white button and a black button. Why we gotta just have a white and black button? I don't know. Like, we can't have no tan buttons, but that's another podcast. But anyway, but then on top of all those buttons, we also have triggers.
Yep.
Because everybody needs a trigger, I guess. I don't know.
Speaking of the color of buttons, what in the heck is with the square and the circle on PlayStation are very nearly the same color? One of them's orange and one of them's pink, but they're, like, almost the same color. Drives me nuts.
Personally, I don't even look at the colors anymore, because I can't tell them apart. I wear that freaking button out so bad that I just have to remember where the damn shapes are, because color doesn't mean shit. I mean, it's such a thin line of color anyway, especially if you're playing in a dimly lit room, that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that they really haven't made a lot of games that focus on that color of the button, because people wouldn't be able to play them. I mean,
that's true.
And so it's really not a very good implementation of color, if that's going to be a deciding factor in gaming. But we can talk about that another one.
Another controller.
But I always thought that Microsoft really borrowed way too many things from the Dreamcast controller that were wrong in their controller. And so it wasn't until the other mini ones came out that actually it got comfortable for me, because it has huge grips and it's got huge weight on it. And it's mammoth, and it's a controller that you can actually, stick a memory module into.
So size does matter, everyone. Sometimes really big just means heavy.
And that does not always translate to good.
That's right.
Talking about in your hands.
Yes. Yes. Preach it, ninja. Preach it.
I'm trying. And so the next thing that we look at when we're coming to the next gen systems has been, you know, this evolution with motion sensing. And I think that, you know, because the Wii has a motion sensor in their controller, 6-axis for the PlayStation 3 has a motion sensor. They're now both wireless, it seems to be the direction. So instead of being tethered to a machine, because one of the things I didn't even mention was that as we went along, the cable that actually connected these wired controllers to the systems got longer and longer. Like with the original Atari system, you pretty much had to sit like right up on your TV because the cable was like 3 feet long. So you basically put the box on the floor in front of the chair that you were sitting in front of your TV and played. But as the progression came, got longer and longer. With the Xbox controllers, you could buy extensions. Actually, with the Dreamcast controller, you could buy a 3 or 6 foot extension for your Dreamcast controller. And so it really allowed you to sit on your ass, like on your couch, eating Cheetos and game, instead of like having to sit on top of your TV in an uncomfortable chair and game. Now you can lay back. It's all good. And I think that that's going to happen as well with the wireless, because you can be up and playing and moving around with 6-axis and with the Wii controller. But you still, even with the wireless on the Microsoft end, you still just basically sit back and be a fat bastard. So that's my little travel through time with controllers. I'm really interested in seeing how the implementation of motion sensor actually works with games and what it works out being. Because I think that the Wii controller is actually going to lend itself well to getting people to be more mobile or more in motion when they're actually gaming, as opposed to, like, me when I game. I'm pretty much curled up on my couch eating bonbons.
No. Yeah, because it adds the physical interaction that's mm-hmm. never been in a game before, aside from, like, arcade games. Like,
right.
And DDR.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm curious. And I like being curious. I like when things pique my interest. So that's all I have. So I guess I'm going to have to say, this podcast is toast.
It's toast.
Unless toasty! You guys have any questions, any comments, any of that, you know, bullshit. Otherwise.
I'm looking on Wikipedia right now, and although Panda and I remember Nights on Dreamcast, it says that it was going to be a game with the working title Air Knights was intended to be developed for the Sega Dreamcast, but it was discontinued. Yeah. And it says that it was actually on the Sega Saturn, which I seriously remember playing the Dreamcast with a Knights game on it.
I think that there was one on the Dreamcast. I believe that it was a port of what they distributed to the Sega CD. I'm not sure. I would have to do some more research on it. But if anybody out there knows, if you're listening to the podcast, hit us up on the website. Click on the Hit Us Up link and let us know what it was. Or give us a call on our toll-free number. That's 1-888-333-8985. And let us know what it was, because I'm not sure. I too remember Nights being on the Dreamcast. I could be wrong, but I really do remember it being on the Dreamcast. But it might have been a port of the Saturn system.
Maybe.
Because now that you say that, I do remember it being on Sega Saturn, but I think there was a port of it on the Dreamcast.
Yeah.
That tended to be the more popular one, but I could be mistaken. But in any case, if that's all we got, one more again. This podcast is toast.
Yeah, it's toast.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So before anybody
really this
actually,
time,
yeah, seriously. But before anybody else talks about their toast, I'm going to mention what I'm going to do with my toast because I've been thinking about it all
Ooh.
Day.
So is it fancy toast?
It's not really fancy toast. Basically, I'm going to
special
take
occasion
my toast. Kinda, because I'm basically going to use my toast and I'm going to make like breadcrumbs with it to put on top of the sauce that I'm going to put on my pasta that I'm about to make for dinner.
Yummy.
So I think that's going to be really, really good. So now
what am I
going
to do with my toast?
What are you going to do with your toast?
I have actually heard from my normal wheat grain toast, and I'm going to go for a
cinnamon raisin bagel and toast that.
Ooh, I love
it. And then I'm going to go play. I bought Dot Hack nice. 2 days ago.
Nice.
And I've played like 15 hours on it already. So that's what I'm talking about next week.
15 hours.
So you have to look forward to that.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that actually, because I do like the Hack series, so the Dot Hack series. So I will be looking forward to that. Which just leaves Pan Delicious and her toast.
I am going to go to a friend of mine who can do, he does burning with wood, like he carves things with fire.
Nice.
And I'm going to have him carve my likeness in toast, and I'm going to sell it on eBay.
Uh-oh, we gave her bad ideas.
You just can't get off the eBay, can you? You got to get the Pan Delicious stuff.
Or rather, I'm going to have somebody bake a giant loaf. So I can do the whole me, like, leaning on the toast. I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm going to sell it on eBay.
That's awesome.
And don't think I'm fucking, I'm actually kind of serious. I know someone who can do it.
Oh, fuck me.
All
right.
I would totally bid on that. Not much, but I'd pay to see that.
Seriously, if you put that shit up on eBay, listing it on the website, that's awesome. Oh, my God. But anyway...
I'm gonna go. You know what? I'm not gonna play my game. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna take my toast and I'm gonna go check out eBay to see if anything of ours is up there.
If you act now, you can get the whole set of ESH Groove toast, Pan Delicious, Ninja Sister, Magic Girl, or Evermore.
Evermore.
They're all here, permanently burned into toast.
You know what? We should talk to Kellogg and get our images on those Lego waffles.
On the waffles.
We should have our own cereal. ESH.
No, because you know how good.
Wait, ESH. They've been cereal, bitch.
They've anyway,
been putting, like, two characters and things on their waffles.
Anyway.
Wait. On the cereal box, I can see it now. Have you ever seen the Chappelle Show where he's like doing the Samuel Jackson? Beer.
Samuel Jackson! It'll get you drunk!
Like, see the ESH cereal, bitch? It'll give you fiber! Alright,
anyway.
More caffeine for me. I am, as always, Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we are so out of here.